and I was excited when they invited me to the house of the Lord. Because there are certain things that can only happen in a corporate setting. When God's people come together and they gather, they experience another dynamic in the spirit that you might not experience when you are alone at home. You've got to be with brothers and sisters in the Lord to experience a corporate anointing. Hallelujah. You know, there's a place where David says, how blessed it is to see brothers dwelling in unity when they are together. He talks about, it's like dew on Mount Hermon. It's like oil poured down the beard of Aaron, going down to the hem of his garment. And then he goes on and he says, in that type of a place, the Lord commands a blessing. So there's a commanded blessing when God's people come together in unity and in oneness. And that is what we experience this morning. Hallelujah. Let's go into the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 1. I'm going to encourage you to listen fast because I'm going to preach fast. I don't know if that is possible, but let's see. Read the word. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2 verse 1. The Bible reads, and in the fulfilling of the day of Pentecost, they were all with one accord in one place. They were all with one accord in one place. That's packed. There's a principle right there that if you apply, and we apply in our gatherings, we trigger something in the spirit. The Bible says they were all with one accord in one place. There is a setting that attracts the glory of God. There is a setting in our gatherings that attracts the glory of God. And it says here they were one in one accord. Let's just leave you there for now. And suddenly a sound came out of the heaven as borne along by the rushing of a mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And the tongues as of fire appeared to them, being distributed, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. I want us to read together that first part, that which says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Number 1, 2, 3. And they were... Let's do it in 1, 1, 2, 3. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, without exception. And they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 5. And dwelling at Jerusalem, there were Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. But this sound occurring, the multitude came together and were confounded. They were surprised because they each heard them speaking in his own dialect. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, behold, are not these who speak all Galileans? And how do we each hear in our own dialect in which we were born? And they gave a list. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and in Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt, in the parts of Libya around Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them speaking the great things of God in our own languages. In our own languages. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, these men are full of sweet wine. People of God, there are times where we cannot understand what God is doing. And we tend to mock what the Lord is doing because of lack of understanding. And they were mocking them and they said they must be drunk. I don't know where they had heard that drunken people speak in isiZulu if they were Shona people. I don't know where they got that understanding that Basotho will speak French when they are drunk. Some things don't make sense. That is why sometimes we need to be careful before we speak things. And I want you to know some words we speak reflect the state of our hearts. The foolishness or the wisdom that is in our hearts is reflected by the words that we utter. Now this morning I want to continue on where we left off last week. But before we do that, let's pray for the word. Father, we pray this morning for revelation knowledge. We pray for understanding. We pray for insight. The Bible says the entrance of your word brings light. It brings understanding to those of a simple heart. Jehovah, we come this morning with simplicity of heart. We pray that you'd speak to each and every one of us. Would you lower this bread to a place where each one can partake? Jehovah, it is one word that is taught, but it is more than one of us here. I pray that by your Spirit, my Father, you'd speak to each and every one of us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said. So I want to do part two of what we started last week. We spoke about the weak become strong. The weak become strong in the presence of something. You don't become strong in the spirit because you go to the gym every morning. You don't become strong in the spirit because you've got so many friends around you. No, you become strong because something happened in your spirit, man. Hallelujah. You become strong in the Lord because you'd have received an outside enablement of the Holy Spirit. That is why we said when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you become strong. Now, it is not God's desire to have a powerless church or a powerless people. That is why in his wisdom, he decided to send the person of the Holy Spirit to make the weak strong. That's why the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. We say we are strong not because we know how to make ourselves strong. We say we are strong because the person of the Holy Spirit enables us and makes us strong. Glory be to God. Without the Holy Spirit, believers are without power. Without the Holy Spirit, believers are ineffective in what they do. You can run, but at some point you run out of steam. You can do things by your own ability, but at some point you run out of ideas. That is when we need the super of the Holy Spirit to be added on our natural abilities. Glory be to God. Whether you're a worship leader, or you're an usher in the house of the Lord, or you're a media team member, or you're an evangelist, you need the power from on high. That is why Jesus told them, do not leave Jerusalem. Last week I gave you five cases from the book of Acts in which believers were filled by the Holy Spirit. And through teaching of the scriptures, we understood that the filling of the Holy Spirit is an after event, it's an experience that you go through after you've given your life to Jesus. Yes, you've been baptized into the family of God at the time you were born again, but there is another experience that every believer needs to have in order to walk in power, in order to be effective in what God has called you to do. Now, the Bible says, in one of the cases where we've read the details this morning, the Bible says they were gathered in the upper room. When they were gathered in the upper room, they were not disengaged. They were not saying, whatever happens, happens. Many believers live their lives that way. Whatever happens in my life happens. No, but these believers, the Bible says they were in expectation. They were waiting for the promise to come. They were not disengaged, but they were in anticipation of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I want to ask you a question this morning. When you came to church, what was the state of your heart? When you were in anticipation, were you looking forward to engaging God the Father today? Were you expecting to receive from Him? Because I want you to know, whatever will happen today will be to the measure to which you were expectant. That is why the Lord Jesus would say, let it be done to you according to your faith. And He would say to the sick, your faith has made you well. And this morning, when it comes to the baptism in the Spirit, it's a factor of your expectation. They did not know how it was going to happen. We have a vantage point now because we read what happened when the power came. The Bible says, as in a rushing mighty wind, the Holy Spirit entered that room and a flame was seen on top of each one of them. We have the vantage point now because it was a recorded event. But if you were in that upper room, what could sustain you was expectation. You would not have an idea of how He was going to come. And this morning I want to ask you, do you expect God to move in your life? When you wake up in the morning, what are your expectations of the day? I want you to know that without realizing it, you can get into a mode in your life where you are more prepared to receive bad news than you are to receive good news. Because every time a call comes from home, you're like, oh, I wonder what is wrong. It's as if you're expecting to hear bad news all the time. But this morning, I want you to shift something in your spirit, man, and go into that default where you expect good news. Now, having an expectation is a key element to experiencing the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to see something. When Jesus spoke about them not leaving Jerusalem, He spoke to over 500 disciples. He said to them, do not leave Jerusalem. Wait for the promise. Then you can leave. But alas, 380 of them did not believe Jesus. They did not wait. Why? Only 120 were found in the upper room. What happened to the other 380? You can sit in the church and you hear God's word, but the word will have different impact on people. Do we sit under the same teaching? Yes. But how come this one seems to be making more progress than that one? Jesus told the 500, do not leave Jerusalem, but only 120 stayed. What does this mean? Put this down. To experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you must ask in faith in response to God's promises. Sometimes we miss God because we don't take Him at His word. We think He was just making a joke. I was talking to a friend of mine who is in Cape Town, and he was talking about why we need to take God seriously. And I say to him, one way of taking God seriously is by taking Him seriously on His word level. When God has spoken to you, do you place weight on what He has said to you? When God has given you a word and you read the Bible every morning and there are promises that are filled in this word, do you take that word seriously? And this morning I want you to know, to experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we must ask in faith, and that must be triggered by a word that has been released. And we have a word of God, we have a word of promise regarding the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So baptism in the Spirit is a product of believing that Jesus wants to baptize me. It's a product of knowing inside your heart that Jesus wants to fill me up until I overflow. Believing in your heart that I am no exception. Jesus called it an advantage for the disciples to receive the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16 verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage. Other version says, it is expedient for you that I go. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. There is a promise as well, where Jesus says, you've got to take me on my word. If I go to the Father, I promise you, he will come. Glory be to God. One way of dishonoring somebody is not to believe in their word. If you want to dishonor somebody, don't take their word seriously. If you want to honor somebody, take their word seriously. Place weight on their word. If you want to honor God this morning, place weight on his word. Hallelujah. So the infilling of the Holy Spirit is a promise that God made before time. And I want you to know that God is a promise keeper. God is a promise keeper. He will not say something that he is not going to do. If he says it, it settles it. Joel chapter 2 verse 28. Joel chapter 2 verse 28. The Bible says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Oh God, we thank you for your promises. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And Joel goes into the details. He says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. He says, in the last days I shall pour out my spirit. Without exception, your young men, your old men qualify. Your sons and your daughters qualify. This week I've been praying for the young people in our church. And I'm saying, Lord, meet up with them. Let them experience an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in their lives. He says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old man. So if you are old and you are in this place, you feel like you've reached the retirement age, I want you to know you qualify as well, because your old man shall dream dreams. Maybe you're still energetic and full of energy as a young man. I want you to know there is a portion for you. He says, my men servants and my maid servants. You see, there is no class when it comes to the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I want you to know that the cross of Jesus Christ levels everything. The moment we stand before the cross, we are the same. And he says, I'll pour out my spirit. And the way that you'll know that I've poured out my spirit, there are things that will happen in their lives. They will speak prophetic words. They shall prophesy. They shall see visions. They shall dream dreams. I want you to know there are things that can only be triggered by the Spirit of God. This promise was fulfilled for the first time in that upper room where the 120 were gathered. And the Bible says all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues. And this morning I want us to believe in our hearts for the infilling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Glory be to God. Each one of us needs that experience. They waited in the upper room. I don't know why the other 380 did not wait. But there is something that I got to understand as I was just meditating upon this. Those who waited in the upper room realized how weak they were. They realized how insufficient they were. And they therefore found it necessary to wait on the promise. I want you to know that this speaks of the attitude with which one needs to experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Put this down. You need a childlike attitude and surrender to experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You need to be like a babe. You need to be like a child. This is an attitude of simplicity and reckless abandonment in the presence of Jesus, where you say, Lord, I come just as I am. Fill me up until I overflow. I want you to realize that becoming a child in the kingdom of God, it is something that you become. It's not an automatic that you have a childlike attitude. Why do I say this? In Matthew chapter 18, there's a place where the disciples came to Jesus and they say to him, Master, who is the greatest in the kingdom? Jesus, who is the greatest in the kingdom? And Jesus took a child and he said in Matthew 18 verse 3, truly I say to you, unless you change and you become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. He took a child and says, unless you change, unless there is a transformation in your attitude, you will not experience the baptism in the Spirit. In Matthew chapter 19, where some people were trying to stop children to come to Jesus, Jesus then said to them, do not stop them from coming to me, for the kingdom of God is like unto them. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is like unto them. This morning, if we are to move into another dimension in the Spirit, we've got to be like children. I want you to know that the infilling of the Holy Spirit is not reserved for kings and queens. It is not reserved for knights and noblemen. He does not call us to become captains and CEOs in the kingdom of God. He does not call us to be professors in the kingdom of God. No, he is calling us to be like children. He is calling us to be humble, vulnerable, dependent on him, and seeking for his glory. It's not about our titles that we carry somewhere. Because I know some of us do carry titles. But when it comes to the things of God, the Lord is not looking for professors. The Lord is not looking for the mature. The Lord is looking for those who are childlike. Because he said, unless you change and you become like a child, you will miss out on the kingdom of God. Let me tell you something, people of God. Without a childlike mentality, you will grow to a certain level and you plateau. There is a dimension of growth and achievement in ministry that can only be attained by those who are childlike. I've been to places and to meetings and conferences where the pastors don't attend praise and worship. They sit in their offices and they are listening, and when the last song of worship is sang, they walk in. And they sit and they are ready to preach. But Jesus says, unless you are like a child, you will not experience the kingdom of God. What is the disposition of your heart this morning? Unless you are like a child, you will not experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. When it comes to building a house, I'm in the construction industry. We start at the bottom. We build the foundation and we spend months. If it's a tall building we're building, we'll probably spend 3 months in a hole. Nobody sees what's going on. And then after 6 months, you see some things coming up. And we build this 20-story building. But when we reach the penthouse, the sixth floor, and everything is finished, we don't go back and remove the foundation. Because now we have reached the top. No, we don't do that. In fact, as you reach the top, you must go down and inspect the foundation to check whether the foundation is still in place. If there are cracks in the foundation, we do what we call underpinning to develop strength so that the foundations remain strong to carry the structure. That is why Jesus says, unless you remain a child who beautifies the foundation. In other words, we need to make the foundations beautiful for us to grow in what God has called us to do. What are some of the foundations that we ignore because we have reached the penthouse? One of those foundations is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It is a foundation where the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5 verse 18, he says, continue being filled by the Spirit of God. You can never come to a place where I am just too full. Why? Because every time you go and you do work of the ministry, you diminish the anointing. You draw down the anointing. I don't know if you knew that, but as you minister, you're drawing down the anointing. That is why you need to go back and replenish. Be filled on a continuous basis by His Spirit. Hallelujah. Today, as you seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, be like a child and expect the Father to deliver the promise to you. Luke chapter 11 verse 10. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Verse 11. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? How much more? You've got to ask. And the Father wants to fill you up. The Father wants to put you in a place of advantage. People of God, when you have the infilling of the Holy Spirit, at work they will not understand how you get certain things done. You know, in my work environment, I'll say this to the glory of God. And my wife is laughing. You know, there's a grace that God has placed upon my life in our business, where without failure, most of our clients, they say, when it comes to this guy is Magic Mike. that is the best that they can say. They don't know better. They say, this guy is Magic Mike because the things that he does. And I speak back and say, it's because I'm a child of God. It is because I have an anointing to do this. That is why in Luke chapter 4, the Lord Jesus was given the scroll and He read from Isaiah and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to teach good news. The anointing comes to enable you to do what you cannot do with your own ability. So when you're infilled by the Holy Spirit, you receive an ability that man cannot comprehend. That's why today we must desire to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, John baptized in water, but there is one who is coming who will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit, and that is Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. So this morning, the focus of our prayer must be on Jesus, the baptizer. The one who says, I will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. And this morning, I want us to be in that place of surrender, to that place where you say, Jesus, you said you will baptize me. And I'm asking you today that you fill me up again. Hallelujah. I'm asking you that you fill me up. There's a space in my heart that is open and available to be filled up. And surrendering opens up that place. As you ask Jesus to fill you up, you must expect. Expect the Holy Spirit to come into your life. And I want you to know this morning that everyone who asks genuinely, just like a child would ask for bread from their father, and the father does not give a stone, when you ask of the Holy Spirit, the father will not give you a demon. He will give you his spirit. Glory be to God. Today, I want you to believe God that you bubble up in the spirit. And Jesus says, life-giving waters shall flow out of their bellies. Life-giving waters will flow out of you this morning. As the Holy Spirit comes and he possesses your life. Glory be to God. I want you to know that when the infilling of the Holy Spirit happened in those five instances, there were some manifestations that could be observed immediately and afterwards. Let me just give you blow by blow some of these manifestations. These manifestations must be expected in each and every one of us as we walk through this journey, as we open up ourselves to be filled up by the Holy Spirit. What are these manifestations? If you can give me that slide, please. Number one, when the Holy Spirit was poured out in the upper room, there was an overwhelming inbreaking of God's presence. When he comes, you know that he has come. Hallelujah. As we were worshiping this morning, you could sense the glory of God in this place. That is what happens. I want you to know that whenever the Holy Spirit comes, there's an inbreaking of God's presence. The presence of God is so real. And people will experience it. From that point going forward, they will carry the presence of God. They will carry the glory of God with them. That is why guys like Peter and Paul, their shadows would heal the sick. It's because of that presence. It is because of that glory that they were carrying. Hallelujah. And that happens, saints, when the infilling of the Holy Spirit happens. Another manifestation was, there was an evident transformation in the lives and witness of the disciples who were filled. You cannot remain the same, people of God. When you are infilled by the Holy Spirit, there is a stirring up that happens in your spirit, man. You start realizing there are certain things that God has called you to do. There's a new level of boldness that comes upon you. Because in the same moment after this thing happened, Peter stood up and preached in such a bold manner that after he had preached, those who were listening said, what are we going to do? Other version says they were pricked in their hearts. And he said to them, repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. And the Bible says over 3,000 gave their lives to Jesus. Something happens, there's a transformation that takes place in the life of a believer that has received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Another manifestation was that what was experienced in that moment of baptism initiated the greatest revival. Because the Bible would say, the guys around were saying, these guys are turning this place upside down. With the gospel of Jesus Christ. When a church is infilled by the Spirit of God, it will become easy for us to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ. There is a compelling that comes into your spirit, man, where you say to yourself, how can I hold back on what God has given me? Another fourth manifestation is, out of the five, the three incidences resulted in what is called glossolalia. Glossolalia, which is the ability to speak in a known tongue. If you look at those five instances I gave you, three of them, there was the ability to speak in a known tongue. And I want you to know this is a gift that comes upon the Holy, upon the people of God that would have been infilled by the Holy Spirit. And I'll touch briefly around it before we start praying. Another manifestation was there was a deeper dimension of Christian commitment to a Christ-like life. Because thereafter you hear scriptures like they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to prayer, to the breaking of bread, and many people were added to the church. The Bible says the fear of the Lord fell upon the community because they were no longer the same. They had been transformed. Hallelujah. When there's an infilling of the Holy Spirit genuinely in our lives, there are some things that we don't have to be asked to do. The issue of the gathering of saints, the issue of fellowship, the issue of prayer, the issue of studying God's word becomes part and parcel of your life because that is the byproduct of the Holy Spirit. Now, we got to desire these things. Now, with regards to the speaking in tongues, allow me to just indulge you a little bit around this matter. Now, there are three streams of theology around the speaking in a new tongue. On the extreme right, you have the Pentecostal, the classic Pentecostal theology and view. The Pentecostal view says, at the initial infilling of the Holy Spirit, there is a definite evidence of the speaking in another tongue, which must be seen. In other words, for us to know that you've been baptized in the Spirit, you should speak in another tongue. And that is a very strong teaching in the Pentecostal movement. That is on the extreme where they say, unless we see this, then you are not baptized in the Spirit. We move from the extreme right, we move cross towards the charismatic view, where the charismatic people are quite relaxed around the need for you to speak in another tongue as proof that you are baptized in the Spirit. The view of the charismatic is the speaking in tongues is just but one of the gifts. It's just but one of the gifts of the manifestation of the Spirit of God. If you operate in the other gifts of the Spirit, then you are baptized in the Spirit. Are we together so far? Now, I transition towards the left, whereby there is a whole religion or theology that says the speaking in tongues is not, and they don't believe in it. It is a one. It is for specific people, but not for every believer. Some even say it finished at that point, when the baptism happened in the upper room, and those it was for that season. In this dispensation, it doesn't operate. And I want you to know that those views have caused division in the body of Christ. But I want you to realize, we've got to be mature about this thing. And as we prepare ourselves to be filled, some of you for the first time, some of you continuously, because you don't get done with it. You need to understand, do not allow theological differences to rob you of the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life. Do not allow theological differences to be a sticky point where your spirit man is not open to what God wants to do. When you surrender yourself, the Father God will come and He'll do what Father God alone can do. Now, we want to read God through the eyes of human beings. But He says, these signs shall follow them In my name, they shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall speak in other tongues. You desire it, you receive it. Glory be to God. You are open to the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in a new tongue. The Father says, I am a good Father. If you ask me of the Holy Spirit, I will give him to you. Now, I've heard believers who are saying to me, Pastor, I've been a believer for so long, and I've been asking and desiring to speak in another tongue, but until now, I've not been able to. Can I stand and say this one is not baptized in the Spirit? And yet I see the fruit of the Spirit. I see them operating in dimensions of the Spirit. Can I stand and judge somebody who hasn't broken through to that dimension and say they are not infilled in the Spirit? No, I cannot. What I believe in my heart is, if each one of us here ask the Father, if we ask the Holy Spirit, if you ask Jesus to baptize us, he says he will baptize you. Is it clear this morning? Glossolalio is a gift. And what is a gift? You receive a gift. You don't demand a gift. A gift is received by faith. Hallelujah. And my, you know, some people, you might not speak in tongues now, but I want you to know at some point, the Lord will meet up with you. In the middle of the night, when you pray by yourself, you'll break out into a new tongue. Hallelujah. Glossolalio, your desire must be, fill me up till I overflow. Fill me up till I overflow. Empower me with the gifts of the Spirit. Enable me, Spirit of the living God. Lord Jesus, baptize me. I open my heart to you. And I want you to know when you do that, he baptizes you. Some of you will speak in a new tongue. Some of you might not. But let not doubt rob you of the faith that God has baptized you in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Next week, I'm going to talk more about the gifts of the Spirit. I'll touch on the gift of speaking in an unknown tongue and the gift of speaking in a prophetic tongue. And then we'll go into the different gifts that are found in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We'll dissect that because I'm telling you, when you are infilled by the Spirit of God, you can no longer just remain just you. Because you see, the gifts and the callings of God are not our decision, but our discovery. The Bible says, according to his will, he deposits gifts. So he decides that I'm going to give you a gift of leadership. It is for you to discover it. I'm giving you a gift of teaching the word. It is for you to discover it. That is why we must not covet each other's gifts. Run your race. Cry out and say, Lord, reveal to me, what is it that you've placed upon my life? That's why the Bible says, let every man run his race. I want us to stand in the presence of the Lord this morning. My prayer for you is, don't be robbed. Worship team, you can come. Jebahasi katamunda.